Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, so we still have not heard anything, not a thing, from Kawhi Leonard, have we? All right, we're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Unlike waiting on Godot, I do believe at some point there will be there will be an answer. Kawhi Leonard will show up at somebody's doorstep. We just don't know where. Can I offer up a couple of possibilities? Listen, I don't know if he chooses the Lakers, the Clippers, or the Raptors. I don't know. But I do think there's something that possible that happens. If he chooses the Lakers, I've heard people say,
anyway, why even watch the NBA next year? Why even watch?
Well, I'll offer up this as a possibility, as a discussion. Wouldn't it create villains? Movies need villains, right? The Lion King's coming back out. Scar is a villain. Name me the movie that doesn't have the bad guy. I mean, remember when Nakatomi Plaza was taken over in Die Hard, you had the terrorists, right? Think of in Star Wars, you have the Empire. And in the NBA, you need villains. Heck, in the NFL, you need villains. We've always needed a bad guy. It's one of the things that Belichick does a great job of. We're on to Cleveland. We're on to Cincinnati, right? I don't want to answer any of your questions. I'm going to wear a hoodie. Are they cheating? Are they inflating balls? Whatever. We have to create some sort of villainy. And I don't think you hand a team that is comprised of, even if they have three of the top five players in the NBA, and Kyle Kuzma won, it's become a guards game and they won't have guards. It's become a three-point shooting league. And like, look, LeBron has become a much better three-point shooter and Kawhi has too, but it's not like they're three-point shooters. It's not what they do. Right? And it gives you an empire. I mean, you guys remember Star Wars? The Empire has all the cool ships. And yet somehow the rebels find a way. So I offer up the possibility that the Lakers could become the NBA's villains. And this discussion we're having about why we even watch the NBA. I heard the exact same discussions last year about the Golden State Warriors. Five all-stars on one team. I was like, dude, DeMarcus Cousins is coming off an Achilles, and it's a perimeter players game. It's not a center's game anymore. We heard the same discussions last year. Oh, the best team ever. They didn't even have the best record in the West. So I look at it and I'm sitting there going, I don't think it's the end of the world. Actually, the Golden State Warriors did have the best record in the West. I apologize. They didn't have the best record in the NBA. They had the third best record in the NBA behind the Raptors, behind the Milwaukee Bucks. But they didn't win an NBA title. Granted, they had massive wholesale injuries, which could be part of the story. But I look at it and I think, okay, the Lakers. Now, here's the other possibility. The offseason story has been really about the Brooklyn Nets, who have always, they haven't been second fiddle to the Knicks. They've been second fiddle in the NBA to the Knicks. But they're like the seventh most popular professional sports franchise in New York City, in the tri-state area. And yet now the Nets are more the thing than the Knicks are. And while I don't know the longevity of it, and I don't know if it will in fact work, I do know that you know, even though there are historic powers that seem to that seem to be forever, if the Clippers could get Kawhi Leonard, and Kawhi stretching this timeline out eliminates much of the supporting pieces that the Lakers could go after, it could have a doubly effective effect. Not only would it allow the Clippers to line out what they want to do to potentially trade Danilo Gallinari and get him another player or whatever, but they could also, who's the Lakers going to have? You'd help the Clippers and hurt your competition. Brilliant. Genius. Diabolical, and maybe not the reason, and I think likely not the reason that Kawhi is doing this, but it is an ancillary benefit. So I know that you're like me and you have no patience for it, or at least I think you're like me and you have no patience for it, and you want Kawhi to just make up your mind. But man, do we have a couple of possibilities here. And it's really, really interesting what he selects. If he takes the Lakers, they become the villains. And if you want to say that we haven't seen a franchise like this, probably haven't seen a three players in the top five. But there was a time when they had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy, Byron Scott, Michael Cooper was Defensive Player of the Year, and they had Magic Johnson all in the same club. All in the same club. But it would create villainy. Bad guy. Somebody to root against. You know, you create your negative storylines. Oh, LeBron, he can't do it by himself. He's got to go get Kawhi Leonard. And I'm not sitting here telling you I love it. Like, I like the idea more of having your own team and going and beating somebody else who has their own team. But I also know that there are mitigating circumstances here. It is moving home. And if that's what you want to do, I can't blame you. I can't blame you. I've moved home twice in my professional career. And there are great things about it and bad things about it. The great thing is, like, yeah, I don't have to reintroduce myself to most people that I grew up around. I may have to fill them in on the 15 years that I was gone, but when I was back, I was back. You can kind of drive places blindfolded, know where you're going. There's a vibe to the place that's not foreign. I've liked moving to different places and getting to know different coffee shops and different people and families. On the other hand, when you don't have equity with people, it's harder. It's harder for your kids. It's harder for you. Harder socially. So I understand what moving home means. And I do think that changes it. But there's three very different choices. Apparently now there's a sizable crowd gathered around where Kawhi Leonard's having a free agency meeting with the Toronto Raptors. And we sit and we wait. And as much as people think the Lakers, if they get him, will ruin the NBA, I actually think it'll help the NBA. There'll be times in which they just have too much talent and they overpower a lesser team. But you'll be rooting for the underdog. Unless you're a Laker fan, you will be an anti-Laker fan. And it'll be the David versus Goliath. And it'll be guards and three-point shooting versus these three mammoth, monumental superstars and whoever else they bring in. Or then he could bring in the Clippers and in a diabolical way take away from any possible chance that the Lakers can put a team around LeBron James, because in waiting for Kawhi Leonard, they've hurt their own chances of getting a supporting cast. It's a fascinating time.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's the hardest decision you've ever made. Sam Amick joins us from The Athletic. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Sam, what's the hardest decision you've ever made?
Man, Doug, put me on the spot.
I'll share with you mine. I'll give you mine. It's okay. Like,
yeah,
I'll
you go
put
first,
myself
so
in the spot.
On mine. What do you got?
Okay. Here's I was at ESPN for 9 years. 9 years in Bristol, 10 years overall. And the way it works, at least in we're in the same business, but I don't know if yours works this way. At ESPN, 6 months before your contract's up, they basically tell you, like, hey, we're going to offer you a new deal. And then really there's like a window there where you have 3 months or so where they're going to throw you out an offer. And then, you know, with the last 3 months of the deal, you can go get another offer to either counter theirs or think about taking it. So I remember this is 2012 and I'm up in September of 2012. And so it's very early on in basketball season. I get like an email from my agent, like, hey, just so you know, 6 months out, ESPN said they're going to offer you a new deal. So, all right. And it's somewhere in between what you think you're worth and like the exact amount you're making. That's what you can, right? That's where you can expect it to fall. And as it usually works, they offer you what you would, you know, some very nominal 3% raise, and you're mad. You're like, dude, I've been here 9 years. Anyway. So I fast forward 3 months later and I had told my agent, hey, I think I'm worth this much. Like, I think I'm worth more than that, but I think I can get to this point. There's a specific dollar figure. And my agent at the time was like, I think that's a little much. I was like, all right, but here's how the calculation works. I get this from TV. I get this from radio. I get this from .com. I get this from this and this from this. I was like, all right, that sounds good, but they have to agree with it. So I'll never forget. It was, maybe May or early June, I get a call. It's like a Friday. My agent's like, guess what? 5-year offer, average of the number you told me you were going to get. And I was like, no way. So I go to Mystic, Connecticut with some friends. We go to dinner, and then we go to a show, and we go to a concert at one of the casinos. And I thought I was going to take the deal right then and there, not think of details. And I was walking around with one of my buddies, and he was like, man, I'll tell you what, I coached your daughters in soccer this year. It was awesome. Wish you could have been there. And I was thinking to myself, like, 5 years there, I was doing 4-7 radio. Like, I will literally never coach my kids during the weekend soccer. And then 5 months out of the year, I'm doing basketball. Right. I'll never see them. And so I had the CBS offer, and the CBS thing would bring me back to California. The radio would be as it is now, 3-6 Eastern, 12-3 local. So I get some time at home. And though they had basketball, with the exception of March and early April, it wasn't as all-encompassing as ESPN was. And it went down to kind of the wire, and I ended up choosing CBS. And I didn't feel great about it. And I almost decided to, because I don't know if I thoroughly thought it out. And anyway, I made a decision. It was the hardest thing I've ever done because I was so happy where I was. But I knew professionally I wanted to try something different, and I wanted to be a better parent. So that's my hardest decision. What's yours?
Yours is going to trump mine when it comes to the depth of it. But, I mean, professional comes to mind first. You know, I was at the Sacramento Bee, and I was comfortable, and I only knew kind of the newspaper life. And then this new website, AOL Fan House, had come along. And long story short, the trickiness of it was that it was the first time I had a chance to cover the entire NBA instead of one team. I was the Kings beat writer back then, but I also, you know, and ultimately with good reason, had concerns about what was this website, how long was it going to last, what path would this put me on. And it was like, money wise it wasn't really a question. It was a big time jump from where I was, but it was more the case of comfort, and then again, you know, where is this taking you? And they let me chew on it for almost 3 months. And I remember the offer just kind of sat there. And then ultimately I took it. And then, in the end, it was a great move, even though AOL didn't end up surviving. You know, that kind of brought me into a different sphere media-wise. I think the takeaway that we're getting to here is that it is funny. We cover this free agency stuff, and we get selfish, right? Because, like, I've got a 4th of July party tomorrow that I'm trying to take part in. And,
I
just want Kawhi Leonard to hurry up and make a choice. And, I mean, this is forget the money. This is where he's going to play hoops for the next, you know, at least year. And this is where his legacy is going to unfold. And that's not a small choice. And I think his situation, too, is different because, you know, when you play through mid-June and you win the title, it's not like a Kevin Durant situation where – you've been chewing on this thing for a while, partly because you got hurt and for other reasons. Yeah, I think Kawhi legitimately, you know, had a lot of homework to do here at the 11th hour.
Okay, so let's go through. There have been people that say if he chooses the Lakers, it's bad for the league. Now, I heard that I heard that last year about the Golden State Warriors and their five All-Stars, and now DeMarcus Cousins can't get a contract. And granted, there was a litany of injuries, the likes of which we rarely see at that level in the NBA.
Yep.
But I would offer the counter. Doesn't it give us a villain? Doesn't it give us somebody to cheer against? What do you think happens to the NBA if he chooses the Lakers?
Well, it's not, to me, it's not the kind of villain that the Warriors were. Durant, you know, Kevin was an easier villain. For one, he had less on his resume at the time, and no championships, and it was easy to grab that narrative of ring chaser. Well, Kawhi's looking at you with two rings on his hand already, saying, no, you don't have that. Two finals MVPs, you know, on his resume already. You don't have that. So the enemy aspect, though, I do think there would be an element of it toward their group, just toward Lakers in general. There's plenty of, you know, plenty of Laker haters, plenty of fans who can't stand their history and their success and what comes with them and the glitz and the glamour and all that. And then LeBron, certainly in a lot of circles, remains a guy that fans don't have a hard time, you know, kind of making, putting the black hat on him. So I think there'd be some of that, but I'm not in the camp that, I mean, I'm with you. I don't think it would be ruining the league. I'd be lying to you if I didn't admit that there was part of me that, just basketball-wise, I would really enjoy seeing how the three of those guys coexisted. You know, I wrote the other day about, you know, everything I was told, LeBron is willing to take a step back and make room for AD and Kawhi, and that's fine to say during the free agency recruitment time, but is he really going to do that? What does that end up looking like? I still don't know what he's going to do here. There's a lot of noise about the Lakers. He's obviously in Toronto right now. But yeah, I mean, I think that Laker thing would be pretty intriguing.
Yeah, you mentioned for people who haven't read it, it does kind of make sense. Like, LeBron could become the Magic Johnson type, and he has always wanted the success of teammates. What exactly is he willing to do in order to make it work?
So, I mean, the line that is stuck in my head that, you know, I think underscores all of it is the idea that he's more focused. Sorry, Doug, entering a parking garage here.
Okay.
More focused on giving AD and Kawhi what they need to elevate their games, bring them to a new level, than he is his own individual dominance. Now, listen, he's a playmaker, you know, by nature anyway. So that's not a real wrinkle to say he's going to continue doing that. I think the nuance there that I've had other people bring up, and as they push back on this idea that he's truly willing to sacrifice, is you could argue that, you know, that means being off the ball more often. And, you know, that last year that was in kind of something that was supposed to be part of the program with Luke Walton as coach, and ultimately wasn't really the case. So, you know, he's got some folks and some cynics who don't think he's going to follow through on this, but I do really believe and truly get the sense that he's looking in the mirror. He knows the age. He knows the health stuff last year, and he knows that he just can't waste any more time and that he's got to get help right now. And AD is certainly help, but, you know, Kawhi would obviously take this thing to a whole new place.
Sam Amick from The Athletic joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. It'd be unfair to the Clippers to characterize their pursuit of Kawhi as anything less than fanatical, right? Their focus, and you tell me if I'm wrong, their focus on Kawhi is as in-depth as the Rockets' focus on beating the Warriors on the court, right? Is that a fair, like, you know, they were anybody associated with the team was, you know, you go back to Bruce Bowen getting fired, like, you don't want to say anything that would make Kawhi upset. You know, you go and hire, you go and hire one of the best, you know, sports writers in the country. I'm not really, you know, for background, like, they have done everything in their power to put themselves in this position. I guess twofold, what would it mean to get him, and what would it mean to strike out if you're the Clippers?
They'd be pretty devastated. Everything you just kind of chronicled there is, you know, honestly, I forgot about the Bruce Bowen chapter. I mean, that right there, you talk about a preemptive move. Just, you know, if there was anything in this entire process that decreased their odds by, you know, 0.0005%, then they were going to, you know, they weren't going to do it. And, or, you know, conversely, anything they could do to help their odds, they were doing it. And they've been focused on it all year. They had additional scouts, as you know, tracking Kawhi at his Raptors games. And you know, just figuring out how to get him to town. They, Lee, you know, Jenkins, and part of his job was to be the guy who had written, you know, deep profiles and features on Kawhi, knew his story, and was going to try to figure out how to resonate. So that, it would be devastating. I mean, all things considered, I think they're in an okay spot. You know, they have assets. They get Pat Beverly back. They have a roster. By Clippers standards, not the end of the world, I think. But in the micro kind of look at it, because of what has transpired over the last year, I think they'd be pretty crushed, because they definitely thought, you know, they were the leader in the clubhouse.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Sam Amick from The Athletic. There's Stephen A. Smith had some interesting things to say today about Kevin Durant, that KD apparently wasn't on the same wavelength, didn't love playing for Steve Kerr, that he didn't feel like that he was treated the same as Steph Curry. How much of that do you believe is what led to Kevin Durant leaving?
I mean, I personally believe the list of things that led to Kevin leaving is pretty long, you know, and so I'm not gonna assign too much to that one particular subplot. I'm certainly not going to refute it either. It's very true. I think it's the dynamic between them. It's never as simple to say, at least in my opinion, you know, they weren't on the same page or they didn't want to work together. But there was tension, and some of that stuff, you know, we saw unfold in real time. You remember that press conference where Kevin was asked about the prospect of playing with Joy. I'm sorry, Steve had said they need to play with more aggressiveness. And he kind of sarcastically says back to the reporter, like, wait, I thought we played with Joy. I thought that was our thing. That was, to me, the symbolic moment of their relationship, because Steve and what he built with Steph Curry was this culture where it was really at one time kind of a utopia of basketball. And then honestly, they lost that over the past couple of years for whatever reason. And I think Kevin almost felt self-conscious about the idea that that he either just didn't fit into that completely, or he just didn't buy into it and found it to be, you know,
hokey.
Just not as, yeah, a little hokey. That's a good way of putting it. And so I think that for sure was one of the many factors.
Yeah. Does it work in Brooklyn?
Maybe like to a degree. Right now I feel like their ceiling is, I mean, certainly with Kevin recovering and out, you know, I agree with others who have said that, you know, they might wind up, you know, being fourth in the East. That's very possible. Maybe fifth. Kyrie's got so many question marks around him and his wiring and his leadership. I'm not about to, I mean, it really is a very similar situation to the one he was in last year in Boston. And we have no reason to think that it's going to be any different, because it's not, you know, a thing that he's doing with Kevin just yet. Now, year after that, I mean, could they be fantastic? Sure. But you're talking about a guy coming off the Achilles. So first and foremost, what version of Kevin Durant do we get? You know, we saw, like with DeMarcus Cousins, with a lot of folks who have Achilles tendon tears, there's being back, and then it's like, you know, it takes you like sometimes a year back ends up being part of the recovery as well. So I don't know. I joked with someone the other day. I said, I'm not a hot take guy in general. I think you know that, Doug. But if I was, if somebody wrote a column right now, you know, predicting that they don't think Kevin would ever win another championship, like, I'm not writing that column, but I'm not going to sit there and tell somebody they're nuts. I mean, we have to wait and see how it unfolds.
What do you think about what the Warriors are doing?
I'm starting to get, you know, warm up on it. The D'Angelo Russell move, I mean, I get the idea of getting a big-time young piece that is either going to be part of your program, or if it's not working out, you know, it keeps you in the game for everything down the road, you know, hypothetically, and this is where the listeners in Milwaukee, you know, want to drive off the road. But if it goes sideways with the Bucks, you know, and you want to get into that game trade-wise, then D'Angelo is the kind of guy that, you know, can be part of the conversation. You know, some of these other pickups they've had are pretty good in terms of the recovery. Willie Cauley-Stein on a minimum, you know, things like that. So they just, it's wild to me how immediately they are just in a completely different situation. I was talking to one of their assistant coaches the other day, and he was talking about how their practices all of a sudden are going to just go from, you know, load management and sophisticated use of the calendar and, like, you know, keeping all these veterans happy to, almost like in a kind of a summer league style developmental, you know, training and hardcore basketball development and practicing, you know, most of the year. They've got a lot of work to do. They have young guys, and they got to make this group, you know, come into something new.
Yeah, it's going to be super, super interesting. And then there's Philly. Look, of course you have to max out Ben Simmons. But, you know, apparently, you know, they make a max offer to a guy who goes to Miami, and they end up making a sign and trade. Jimmy Butler's gone. In his place is Josh Richardson and Al Horford. I mean, I like Al Horford. I don't get the last 2 years of the Al Horford contract, and I don't get how Horford is necessarily needed in the playoffs. He may be needed in the regular season, but the playoffs, when you have Joel Embiid, help make sense of what Philadelphia is doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're one of the only teams, maybe the only team that, because of Joel's health history, like the idea of having a guy where the regular season matters, you know, in relation to the playoffs, and a guy like Al who can help on those nights when Joel just doesn't want to play or wants to play 20 minutes because he's struggled to, you know, to keep himself healthy, that is going to have a ripple effect on the postseason. Not to say that Al wouldn't be a major part of every single playoff game, but if that leads to you getting the best version of Joel Embiid when it matters most, that's huge. You know, I mean, we just saw with the Raptors and the way that they handled Kawhi Leonard all season long that, you know, in the end, you know, that the ends justified the means. And I remember reading columns from Toronto about how some Raptors players, they weren't mad at Kawhi, but they were confused about, you know, is he going to play this night? Is he going to play that night? Other players would have their routines impacted by the fact that, you know, they didn't know how this was being handled. And I think the Al thing, there's an element of this in relation to Joel. And I think also it's a leadership thing. It's a locker room thing. Jimmy Butler was a guy who has been tricky in every single locker room he has been in, to say the least. And I think they're looking forward to having a more kind of simple and, I mean, just a rock-solid character guy like Al to be part of their program.
The Rockets are apparently going to run it back. You know, necessity is the root of all invention. I guess out of necessity and the inability to move Chris Paul, this is what they're going to do. And, you know, with other super teams falling apart, how do you think this Rockets thing works out?
You know, I think it's safe to say right now that, you know, not that they're scrambling, but I think they're certainly hoping. I don't know what else they have in the works. You know, the names are falling off the board. But I think they're disappointed by, you know, swinging and missing on a bunch of guys that they were hoping to get. And, you know, Jimmy Butler, first of all, that one is puzzling to me because the noise was so loud. And the entire time I was skeptical of the idea that, you know, this whole thing hinged on Jimmy saying he wanted to come. And about a month before all that stuff was public, you know, I'd checked on that situation. And my impression at the time was that, you know, I was kind of skeptical at best that he did in fact want to go play for, you know, what is basically his hometown team. He grew up in Tomball, Texas, pretty close to Houston. And so without Jimmy making that choice, it just kind of sparked a sequence of events that puts the Rockets in a tough spot. It really does look now like you're talking about running it back. You have a Clint Capella dynamic that is just tricky because it's already kind of out there in the media now that they're pretty frustrated by his performance against the Warriors in the playoffs, and they shopped the heck out of him and they had landing spots for him. And, you know, those players in particular, like PJ Tucker told me recently that he really, like, that they really understand the business and they know that, you know, you can be shopped and talked about in trades and then still feel fine about being part of the Rockets program. I think that's PJ talking for PJ. I think younger players, like we saw with the Lakers last year, struggle with that more. So I don't know where that leaves them as a group collectively, mentally, in light of all this, because really everybody on that team, including Chris Paul at one point, was getting shopped. And now because they couldn't find something better, now the message becomes, you know, hey, we love you guys and let's do this.
By the way, TJ McConnell has signed with the Pacers. That's only interesting because they now have the market cornered on TJs, TJ Leaf, TJ Warren, who they traded for, and TJ McConnell. That's a pretty impressive roster of TJs.
That is, absolutely. It's the opposite problem is, you know, other teams are getting you know, Lopez brothers on the, like, I always think through the sports writers, you know, filter where you got to figure out, are you dropping first name references only on the Lopez's? Are you dropping last name references only on the TJ's? These are big problems, Doug.
I have a funny Lopez brother story for you. Okay, this is a true story. 1988, I was on a ARC Mid Valley. We played in Bellevue, Washington, for the 12 and under national championship, and Brooke and Robin were always with us with their mom and dad, who were together back then, and they're wrestling, and everywhere we went, they wrestled, they fought, they were just all over. They were Energizer bunnies all over everything. And I never forget that at some point we had all discussed it, and I was the one who was finally brave enough to ask Alex, their big brother, hey, man, what's up with your brothers? And he's like, what do you mean? I go, are they, like, all there? He's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, they, you know, they don't really speak. They're always arguing and crying and fighting, but they're not actually speaking to each other. Now, keep in mind, they're like little giants. And he's like, they're fine. They're two. And I was like, what? They look like 7 or 8 year olds. They're two. And they had these huge afros at the time. It was really, really funny. Anyway, that's my hilarious. Best brothers Lopez.
Also not surprising. That's a very understandable story.
A long way from the Sacramento Bee, but you do a great job. Can't wait. I'm with you. We all have 4th of July plans. Can we move this thing along, Kawhi Leonard? In the meantime, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. Appreciate you.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
We're getting some word as to why wasn't Kevin Durant happy? And as these stories leak out, Stephen A. Smith, who said he wasn't that fond of Steve Kerr, actually got a That's BS text from Kevin Durant. Look, I think you can roll your eyes as a coach. You can push back on a coach's style. You can even talk trash about not loving a coach and honestly like being coached by the guy. Like, I can go through every coach I've ever played for and tell you there are moments where I didn't like playing for him. And there are moments, usually even the guys I didn't like playing for, that I loved playing, that I loved them. Their strengths, their weaknesses. It's one of the things about being, you know, an adult. Understanding and reading the psychology of others and knowing their strengths and their weaknesses and figuring out how to succeed in spite of or because of it. Like, I don't think these things are crazy at all. So when I hear Stephen A. Smith go on and like, well, Kevin Durant, he didn't like the star treatment of Steph Curry. Like, all right. Is that why you left? Because you wanted star treatment? He didn't love always how Steve Kerr would coach him. All right. Like, how do you know how Kenny Atkinson is going to coach you? You don't. I think one of the things that's fascinating is Kevin Durant had a team that kind of organically was put together through the NBA draft in Oklahoma City. This is one of the reasons the Kevin Durant divorce from the Golden State Warriors is one of the reasons it's really hard. Must be hard for dudes to get remarried. Like, my wife and I have been married 19 years next month. 19. That's a long time. She has put up with an incredibly annoying human being at times. There are things that I do that are annoying. I snore. This is a fact. I snore. I don't think it's as problematic as she does, but part of it is I'm asleep, so who knows? But I do nice things. Like, I get her chai every morning. I wait till she goes to bed so that the snoring wouldn't keep her up. I'll even, if it's bad, switch rooms. I like cooking, not cleaning. I like shopping. She doesn't for groceries. It kind of all works together. And once you're kind of wired a certain way, like, look, once you get married, and Ramos knows this, and they're about to have another baby, like, your wife kind of trains you. You're kind of trained for that wife, right? Like, the things that you do is like, well, this is normal in my house. And I don't know what it's like at somebody else's house, but I would think a lot of people feel kind of weird and awkward once they're either, you know, sometimes cohabitating. Maybe you end up moving in with, living with another woman. You're like, man, I did it this way for 15 years. Like, doesn't make it the right way. It's just the way I've always done it. And that's why, you know, relationships establish kind of our identities within that relationship, our roles, the certain things we do, the quirks of our relationship. Some people go to Vegas and just go, you know, as a couple, and they're like, look, we go to Vegas twice a year. We go and see a concert. We go and see a show. And then we go and we spend a bunch of money, and then we pass out at the pool all day long. That's what we do. And there are some couples like, you really go to Vegas and you gamble a bunch? Like, I go to have a nice meal. I want to be in by 10. Then I get up early in the morning. I walk the strip. It's beautiful when it's empty. It's not that hot. Then I get some pool time. Then he plays golf. We almost never gamble. And once you do that for 4 or 5 years, 10 years, then you go and try and live somebody else's lifestyle, even in the same city, in the same trip, it's very different. So, I'm fascinated by it. By Kevin Durant, who's now essentially a two-time divorcee. Whatever his first relationship with the Thunder felt like, it was limiting him. Wanted to spread his wings. You know, it was like getting married out of high school. You know, it was kind of limiting. I'm an adult now. I'm a little bit different. Want to try something different. Want to try something new. You know, and he did, and it worked. And now he's moving to Brooklyn, which is trying something different and trying something new. And there's nothing wrong with that. But creating these narratives of, you know, the reason Kevin Durant wasn't happy was X, Y, Z. Like, look, dude, you have to decide in life. You're going to wake up every day and there are things you can be unhappy about. Probably less things than people outside of our country. Probably less things than many people inside of our country. But the things that you can be unhappy about. Do you choose to dwell on the things you're unhappy about? Or do you choose to dwell on the things that you're happy about? That's your decision. It's a half full, half empty sort of decision. You know? I didn't sleep very well last night. Okay, but the good news was I was up at 5 o'clock so I could catch that 6 a.m. yoga class. So I got all my work done and I had a great breakfast. Again, you can spin anything you want positively. Or, man, 5 a.m., that dog crossed the street. Now I'm tired and I'm cranky and I can't believe I was up at 5 o'clock and that means I got to shut it down early to catch up on sleep. And you can determine your own happiness. And I don't know why Kevin Durant left. I would guess that he wanted to try something new. I guess he's got an explorer's heart. I would guess that you're added to an already set team and it takes forever for them to give you the kind of begrudging respect nationally that you deserve. I get it. I understand. You're a little too much in your feelings for my taste, but I get it. The problem is now you can't go back to how it was in Oklahoma City where you were young and everybody was following your lead. You're not having that in Brooklyn. And by leaving Golden State, you've chosen to not fix Golden State. And by going to Brooklyn, you're going to take part of their culture, which may be great. And maybe you can make it kind of Oklahoma City Thunder light. But it will never be the same again. And that's the thing about decisions. So when I hear Stephen A. go through these kind of tedious, little, insecure, insignificant factors that led to Kevin Durant looking outside of the Golden State Warriors, I sit there and go like, yeah, maybe he's a searcher, or maybe he's just a guy who's constantly going to get divorced because his first wife wired him. His second wife was let him do whatever he wanted. His third wife's trying to kind of pick up the pieces and figure it out. And meanwhile, he's got to go through some personal rehab. And once you've been divorced twice, now there's no limit to the number.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.